Hey everybody, this is Curtis Clow, and welcome to episode 34 of Writing Comics. It's been about 4 years since I've done one of these. I think it was back in 2020, December. We were in the pandemic. I just quit my job a year before this last episode, December 2019, to do comics writing full-time. And here we are, 4 years later. I guess I should probably catch up on what's been going on. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but again, it's just like bandwidth and how much time do I have to put into this. I think I can afford to put in the time to do this now. I like it. I get people when I'm at Comic Cons and stuff, random people coming up saying that they've found me on this podcast and heard it online, and I've seen the reviews and stuff. So it's cool to see. And just it's pretty random. I forget I even used to have this, and then I get people coming up saying that they've found me from this podcast. So it's pretty wild. I've still been plucking along. I've done 22 Kickstarters now. I'm older. I'm not to brag, but I'd like to think I'm one of Kickstarter's biggest indie creators. I've had some pretty big Kickstarters, a couple for my series Beastlands, hit over 1,000 backers. Over $60,000, $70,000, $50,000 a couple times. It's been hard work. It's still a grind. I've had a couple releases with Dark Horse Comics. I've had one release with Scout Comics. So I've got some publisher experience now. But I think if anything, I've learned that the key to making a living, or the key just to be a comic writer coming up, the thing that matters the most is Kickstarter and putting all of your eggs in that basket. And other stuff is cool, but I don't know. I think maybe a couple years ago, before having a publisher release, I thought that more would come after that. Better finances, more jobs. But I don't know if all that stuff opened up. There's still the key and the most money I've made and the most recognition I have is from my Kickstarter stuff. So I think it just shows you the importance of Kickstarter and why you need to do that, why you need to focus on just having ownership of everything, especially in this day, 2025, when you're able to just own everything you've made. It's so important. But that being said, I've had a great experience working with Dark Horse. I know it's kind of a lot of turmoil in the comic industry right now with the Diamond bankruptcy and a lot of layoffs on these different publishers. IDW, Dark Horse had some layoffs, but probably the question I get asked the most online or in person at conventions, when they see I've been published by Dark Horse, that's what everybody wants to know is how can you get your stuff published? How can you get picked up by Dark Horse? And I don't have any pull there. I cannot help you get your comic signed at Dark Horse. That's not it's tough enough to get my own stuff signed to publishers. It's a lot of work pitching and making the right connections. I can't help somebody else get published. That's just not how it works, especially somebody as new as myself. But I can give you some tips on what I've done and to hopefully get your stuff picked up by a cool publisher like Dark Horse. So first off, I'd say you just need to make stuff. A publisher isn't going to take a risk and accept a submission for somebody who's never made anything, unless it's the coolest comic ever. It's going to be tough. You just need to do Kickstarters. That's why I said Kickstarter is so important, and just put out stuff yourself. So that's where doing Kickstarters comes in. Just make comics, get that experience, make cool stuff. The second thing I would say is sharing that stuff. Be active on all the social medias. It's again, weird landscape. Social media is weird these days. Twitter used to be kind of the spot for comics. I don't know if it is anymore. You got Blue Sky, you got Instagram, Facebook, but just, even LinkedIn now. Start following the right people and, hopefully you get some fallbacks and stuff and just be genuine. Don't DM them asking, to pitch them and stuff, just start sharing what you're making. Share the pages. If it's good work, it'll grow its own following and people will recognize if it's good work. If it's not good work, then you just need to keep making stuff and you'll get better as you go. So putting your stuff out there, that also goes along with comic conventions and how important they are, especially when you're new. I do less these days, but I try to do most of the big ones, but you can really make friends and meet people in the community just from going to comic conventions. Last year, I went to Rose City, New York Comic Con, and I think San Diego. Oh, and WonderCon. I also throw in like Seattle's a good one. I'm on the West Coast, so I do mostly West Coast ones besides New York. But I used to do a lot of the smaller like 2-day and 1-day shows, which I just don't have. I don't have the patience for anymore. As I've grown, those are smaller shows. Like if you have multiple books to sell, you're just not going to make your money back. But if you're new, I just say do them all, and then you kind of learn. As you start to make more books, you'll kind of grow and phase out some shows. Like going to shows, you make a ton of professional connections. People come to your show, and I'm not just talking about tabling in Artist Alley, but also like if you walk around and just meeting people at the booths, that's where you can kind of meet editors and stuff. I did a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, meet a ton of editors there. So say you make that connection, you meet an editor, and then maybe they like one of your books and they can ask you to pitch it. So I can kind of go through what one of my pitches was that got picked up at Dark Horse. And I don't know if I'm the best pitcher because I've had a few accepted at Dark Horse, but I've pitched for a bunch of other companies and haven't had as much luck. But again, that's like where it comes in to, I still think Kickstarter just being more important. Like I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise, if you want to say, like that my stuff didn't get picked up at some other publishers. And then I was able to go and launch it on Kickstarter. And again, like the money I made on Kickstarter and have full control and don't have to split it with the publisher is probably more than I would have made if it was like exclusively signed at a publisher and I wasn't allowed to Kickstarter it. The deal I had with Dark Horse is kind of perfect, where it's a creator-owned deal and I funded it all through Dark Horse. And I funded it all through Kickstarter. So Dark Horse doesn't have to pay me a page rate, doesn't have to pay to get the book built. They just have to pay for printing. And it's a lot easier for them to make the money back. So that's like the plus side to these publishers signing something that's from Kickstarter. And I still have full control where we're still funding it from Kickstarter, going issue by issue, even did the hardcover on Kickstarter. They just had the rights for the paperback. So it was a great deal for us. And then the benefits there is it gets it into bookstores and comic shops, which is something that I don't have a distributor. Like I can ship books all over the world through Kickstarter, but Kickstarter is still such a small audience that like only so many people go to Kickstarter to find books and buy books there. So you're just missing out on so many other people, so many other fans, customers that could find your books. I've met people at conventions that like found my book Beastlands at a random comic shop in Mexico, which I just never would have gotten my book there. They never would have discovered me. So it's cool to have that kind of best of both worlds with Kickstarter and Dark Horse. Back to my to the pitch that I sent the editor that got accepted for Slightly Exaggerated. This was a long time ago. This was like back in 2019, and this book just came out. We just finished it on Kickstarter, all 4 issues, and the paperback just came out this past December 2024. So that just shows you like how long things take. I mean, that's the downside of Kickstarter. Like things take long to be launching and funding it through Kickstarter and not just be getting a check from a publisher to make it, but a lot of upsides. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the way the industry is now. All right, so here's the pitch I had for Slightly Exaggerated back then. I think we already had 1 issue done, so they saw that, and it took another 4 years or so to finish the next 3 issues, which is kind of sucks it took that long, but it worked out. So I had a one-line kind of information on the pitch on the series. Slightly Exaggerated is a mature treasure-hunting fantasy adventure. It's planned for 4 issues. That kind of gives you the scope of how many issues it is. Something smaller will have a better chance of getting signed, I think, when you're a new writer, like a mini series or 6 issues. Or even if I had planned a volume 2, I don't know if I would tell them, because like they're not going to sign volume 2 right away. I was able to get Beastlands volume 2 signed, but at the time they just signed volume 1, and I knew either way I was going to start making more volumes after that on Kickstarter, whether they wanted a publisher or not. Because of the success of volume 1, they then published volume 2. But just keep it small. Like even though they're not paying for the page rates for the artists and my page rate to write it, still just being a new creator, like it's just less of a risk to kind of say that the story's finished in one volume. I think you're better off. I then had a log line. A dying treasure hunter girl must steal back a sacred artifact from a crazed cult leader to restore order before her sickness overcomes her in a whimsical fantasy world where religion is law. So you have your antagonist, protagonist. I'm pretty sure I did an episode in the past just on log lines, but I think those are super important for just like in that early part of writing a story and to kind of keep you on track. You try to put some irony in there, and there's an art to writing log lines in itself, and you get better the more you make them, and it's like one of the first things I do when I'm starting a new series, but I'm still not the best at it. And you know, as a comic writer, you're only doing new series every, I don't know, like even if you do like one new series a year, that's not that often that you're going to then be like writing a log line, unless you're trying to see like which one's going to work and like getting a bunch of new series going before you decide to pursue one and write it more, then you could kind of experiment with log lines. But anyways, all right, next is theme, a statement, a one-word statement. This is kind of like the master theme of the series. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are. It's up to you to give your life meaning and purpose. And after that, I just kind of had a big outline. So like it wasn't the most, I've seen some people have me like review their pitches and they'll have like character info. I mean, it'll be like a huge like 10-page pitch. This is like 3 pages and most of it is honestly just the outline, which the outline is kind of just like a couple sentences for, I kind of go to act one and have like the main plot points there, the inciting decision, then act 2A, a couple sentences for like each of the main plot points, act 2B, and then act 3. And looking at this outline, I followed it pretty strictly actually. Like a lot of times things can change, especially as you're getting better as a writer and getting more experience. But this outline was pretty spot on, and it's hard to remember now, but I'm guessing I definitely referred to it here and there when writing like the next 3 issues. But I mean, I think what this outline or what this pitch does well is being so succinct in like, and it's just less of a risk being a 4-issue series, being that the out, like it just kind of seems low risk. Like we only had 3 more issues to go. We were self-funding and it's like a self-contained story in those 4 issues, and we already had 1 done to show, so it's like 1/4 of the work done. And do I want to do a volume 2 of Slightly Exaggerated? For sure, but I didn't pitch it as that, and like we can always do that on our own in Kickstarter if they decide not to sign volume 2. It'll depend all on sales and stuff. Like that was the reason they gave us a chance for volume 2 on Beastlands, but that is pretty much the pitch. It helps when you have a good artist on board and a full issue one done. So I sent all of the comic pages we had done. I sent, which was like the full issue 1. I sent the covers and the variants that we had done. It's like having a bunch of good art makes your job easier as a writer. Have it fully lettered so they can read it. And then after that, it's kind of, I was kind of hands off, and it was just on the editor to pitch it up at Dark Horse. And that's how we got accepted. So yeah, I don't want this to seem like a clickbaity title when I'm saying like how to get your comic pitch accepted at Dark Horse, but there's just, it's rare that it's going to get accepted just through like the website submissions. It's all about knowing people, networking, being around the industry for years, making good comics for years, and then that's where these opportunities can open up. And like I said, like it was my thought process a couple years ago, but I kind of thought that this was the end all be all, and then I would be getting a bunch of work on publishers after that. And maybe it is for some people, but it hasn't been for me. Maybe my stuff just isn't as publisher friendly. But I've still had a ton of success on Kickstarter since then. And even with these, like I still have the Beastlands Volume 2 coming out this summer at Dark Horse, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like for newer writers, like the important thing is Kickstarter, put out your own work, grow your own audience with the mailing list and everything that I've talked about before. And then this publisher opportunities will come, and you know, it's a bit like, it's a bit of luck, but it's also just being ready when the opportunity hits. And I wouldn't have too high of expectations on like how your career is going to change after it, because I've had some opportunities open up after the Dark Horse stuff, but it's just, it's all about Kickstarter still, man. All right, that's the end of this episode, a quick return for writing comics. I'll have more coming up. I want to do more with this podcast since I've had it for like 7 or 8 years. Maybe some interviews, talk to some other creators, talk to some friends. I also have another podcast now that I do with Caleb Palmquist called Ink to Table, about making comics. It's like this Substack where we promote one high quality indie Kickstarter comic a month, and then we interview the creator there. So you can check that out. But that is it. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate all the reviews, everything, all the kind words, everybody who's found me and told me that this podcast has helped them. That's really cool to hear. Thanks, guys.